Good morning.
I ask for your prayers this morning that the word of the Lord would have success. Well, I'm keenly aware that in our humanity that we are in desperate need of the Lord to help us on every level. Every one of us here. You know, sometimes we're more aware of that than others. But I think as I've grown a little older and the Lord has reminded me more often of my frailty, the more, you know, when I was young, I had more of a sense of I could take on a lot of things, I thought, emotionally, mentally, physically. And now I'm getting older, and it's not quite the same as what it used to be. And I believe the Lord's helping us to learn maybe to lean a little bit more on Him. It's good for us all to learn that because we need the Lord. I'm grateful that He has not left any of us alone. I would like to write a word on the board this morning. Writing that says damage. Got to thinking about that. I was in a store here a while back and walked by, saw a tag on an item they had for sale, and it was written on there, damaged. This is damaged product. And I wonder how many of you like to buy damaged stuff. Maybe you bought something that you wanted it not to be damaged and you found out that it was damaged. Most of the time you take it back. You know, some people like a bargain. They look for some damaged stuff because they believe that when they get it home, they can either fix it and make it, they can get something for a bargain. I've been kind of like that a little bit myself. There have been times that I've looked for a vehicle or something that got crumpled up, and I look at it and I think, well, I can pull that fender off and put this hood here on, and we can replace, you know, maybe the radiator got ruptured and a few things. And I figure about so many dollars, I think I can put that up and make something nice out of that. And it gave me pleasure. When I got through, I looked at it and said, I like that. I like what happened. And that's just a very small scale of what the Lord likes to do when He finds people that's been damaged. A lot of us will bypass damaged things. But I want you to know today, God's on the hunt for damaged people. Yes, thank the Lord. Because I was one of those damaged. Thank you were too. And He looks at people with our scars and our damages. And He says, come to me. And He bids high. The world bids high too. You're on the auction block. I want to tell you, the Lord gave heaven's best. And He wants you. And He wants me. I want to think about damage this morning. It comes in a lot of different forms. Some damage is very obvious. In the last couple years, I've been rear-ended twice, sitting at stop signs, stop lights. And you can see, I've got evidence. You can see what happened. And up underneath that one vehicle, you can see someone, but up underneath there, you have to look. There's some of an internal damage. Some of it not readily meets the eye, but it's there. And sometimes I've wondered. My son, he has a mechanic shop and he's worked on tractors. A fella brought a tractor to him. And anybody here, if you'd have walked by there and you said, well, yeah, that's a tractor. It sure looks like one. Can't tell. Couldn't see anything wrong with it. It looked good from the outside. That's a tractor. Believe it. That's a good looking tractor. But it wouldn't move. So we started working on that tractor. And when we got to the problem, we had that tractor in many different pieces scattered around. It was in the transmission. And to get to the transmission, we had to tear it completely down to get to that point. Some small parts inside, internally, that you couldn't see. But the thing was crippled. It wouldn't move. Because the damage was down deep inside. Damage. Wonder why it happens. You never know. Sometimes you, how did that part break? What happened? And sometimes we look at people. And you may feel very whole today, and you might even be putting on a facade of being very complete and very whole. That perhaps you're damaged. You know, we're human. You know, in the course of life, as we're traveling down the road in our vehicles, we go, in the course of life, we travel, but after the odds are, somewhere in your life, you're probably going to be involved in some sort of fender bender or accident varying in degrees of damage. It's also likely that in the course of our life and us having interaction with each other, it's also likely that we're going to have plenty of opportunities of having fender benders with each other. I'm not talking about our cars now. I'm talking about us with our human interaction. Now, some of these things that happen within us, we can harbor and we can allow it, we internalize it to the point that maybe outside we can look pretty whole. But it cripples. And it stymies our effort. And we can get so bogged down. And we handle it different ways. You see, the devil will be there to try to feed the pain. He'll try to encourage the pain. He'll try to get us to hold on to it. Because somehow that almost becomes our identity. And if I can, you know, people maybe sympathize with me a little bit, or if I can hold this against that person, I want them to know how much they hurt me. And I want everybody else to know they hurt me. And I want everybody else to know they were judgmental. Those folks over there, I want them to know. Folks, think about this for a little bit. If I allow the devil to get me so wrapped up in something like that, yes, that it cripples me for the rest of my life, I've given him way too much authority in my life. Yes. Right. Way too much. Did you know you're damaged? Let me say it like it is. We're crippled. We're damaged. And that's just like the devil wants us. That's the place he wants us to be. Crippled. You know, we just sang a song. What can he do with a life that's hurt? Whatever you're dealing with. What can he do? He likes going to auctions where souls are damaged. He likes coming by and seeing where you are. Because you know what he wants to do? He sees all the damage. You see, he's an expert at knowing where the damage is. He knows how internal, how far deep the damage is. And he knows the proper antidote. He knows how to fix it. I want to tell you, I know that to be a fact. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. He fixed damage in my life. I know it to be so. I know what happened to me. I know the things that I harbored within my bosom. I know how the Lord identified. I know how the Lord brought it out. I know how the Lord straightened it out. I'm not going to tell you everything. You see, when we're working on damage, or when I bought something that I wanted to fix, something that was damaged, it was a process. I didn't buy it like that. It was done. Did you know I began to work? I took off damaged parts. I began to work on that. I straighten frames or parts that were broken. You worked on it. Do you know it'll be that same way in your life when the Lord starts working on the damage. There's some things He'll forgive. He'll bring you to a place of healing. Amen. But in the process, He starts working on it. And some things you don't even see at the beginning, but God sees it, and all the time He's working to uncover, to get down there, and He'll put it out. Oh, let's yield ourselves into the mighty hand of God. I would like for us to turn over into Luke, the 19th chapter. You know, when I was thinking about damage, I thought of the word damage. I looked it up. You know, the first part of that word is akin to the same word, and it comes from the same, I believe, Latin word. You know what damnation is? Damning? Damage? It means that something has gotten to the point that you just feel like it's done. Reprobate. It's not use. It's time to get rid of it. And the devil would like to make you feel like this today, that you're so damaged that you can't ever rise again. I want to tell you, he's lying. There's still a God. Over here in Luke, the 19th chapter, we have a story. Zacchaeus describes him here as a little man. He was of little stature. Now, in the first verse here of the 19th chapter, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. He was rich. Now we begin to see a picture of somebody. He was a publican. He was the chief among the publicans. He was very rich. The next verse describes him a little further and says he was little of stature. We don't know a lot. I hope you'll allow me a little liberty this morning. I'm going to go beyond what the Bible tells me about Zacchaeus and go into the realm of speculation and possibility. But somewhere, Zacchaeus didn't, I don't think he was born into a family who championed publicans. It was a shame for them to be publicans. They weren't liked. They were known. And when Jesus referred to the publicans, they were known sinners. That's just who they were. Remember the one who stood over in the corner of both two men? Went to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other the publican. You remember, that's the portrayal of the publicans. He was a chief, little man. Have you ever heard of somebody who had little man syndrome? You ever heard of that before? I don't know if Zacchaeus, I don't know what all went into
his situation.
Perhaps as a young fella growing up, maybe people
started making fun of him a little.
I don't know. But it's possible. It happens today. Kind of poke at him a little, and he never liked that.
I don't blame him. Nobody does.
And perhaps as he kind of felt like he was outcast, and he just fumed over there. Young man growing up, you're gonna feel that. And he was over there and he fumed, and perhaps he was just angry as he could be, and he was scheming. I'm gonna get even one of these days. And he grew up. And he with this conniving mind that he gave himself to, decided, went to the Romans and said, let me be one of those tax collectors for you. I got a scheme. And evidently he did it very well. He was chief of them. And he did so well, I think he probably bent the laws a bit. Maybe some of those folks that had teased him a little bit when he was young, perhaps he caught them a time or two on the road, and I'm getting even now. But did you know that at some point in his life, all the getting even, it just didn't satisfy? It didn't do it. If it satisfied with him, he wouldn't have been hunting Jesus when he walked by. Somewhere, this little man got tired of being who he was. It wasn't fulfilling. He was damaged. Maybe you can say, well, he didn't have to be. And no, he didn't have to be like that. Folks, let me tell you right now that we can point to a lot of reasons sometimes of why I've ended up like I am. And perhaps it's true. Maybe they're valid points. But it doesn't do us or anyone else good to stay there. Don't let the devil have that much authority in your life. It's perhaps helpful to recognize it. But it's not helpful to make that part of the controlling force for the rest of your life. There's a God who saves, changes, and fixes brokenness. Amen. There's a God who does that. He's done it for numerous people. Anyone who's willing to give Him their brokenness. And I don't know, perhaps for a while in Zacchaeus' life, he thought, it feels good to get even. But there came a day it quit feeling good. It's not fulfilling. It's a weight. Bitterness and anger and wrath and all this type of things, it'll burn, it'll get in your soul, and it'll do damage, and it'll hurt you. And there'll be a day you don't like it. It's just too big a weight to carry. Zacchaeus was a little man. He was chief among the publicans. And then Jesus came by. And perhaps the little man had heard some things about him. He'd heard them. He may have heard about a woman that she was a known sinner. And maybe the talk had got around town and kind of went out. And she came up and just weeping. And the Lord delivered her. And she changed the way she's living, and people knew her. She followed around. Who is that following Jesus now? Is that same? Is that Mary? Is that? Yeah, that's Mary. She don't look like the same. She is though. No, she's really not. But that's the same Mary you're thinking of. She's different today. Maybe that talk got back to Zacchaeus, and perhaps at night when he was sleeping, he trying to sleep, he. These things that he did begin to weigh heavy on Zacchaeus. Maybe his children. How would you like to be a child of somebody who was despised in the community. How'd you like that? I doubt if his children liked it. They went out to play with the others. How do you think? Did they have any friends? Or did everybody kind of shun them because you're Zacchaeus's? What were the dynamics here, you see? See, damage left in its damaged form seems to perpetuate generation after generation. It hurts. Maybe Zacchaeus saw all this happening. He said, I know what the problem is. It's me, but I don't know how to change it. But I want to. Sure wish I could. And then came Jesus. And Zacchaeus had a little hope began to rise inside of him. And he said, I'm going to go see him. I heard here he's a coming. I want to go see him. Amen. I don't know what, I doubt seriously if he really thought he was going to have a personal audience. But he said, I got to see him. Went down there. Everybody was taller than him, and he was going down this road. He heads off running down there. There's a tree. He climbs up over there. I can see him now. Perhaps he was high enough that he thought that he'll never notice me. There's everybody's around him, but I can see him. And he comes, and he sees him walking right, and Jesus stops right there. Wonder why he stopped. Wonder why the Lord calls for broken people. You know why? Because he wants to fix them. He wants to change lives. You see, he knows how deep the pain is. He knows where the twistedness is. He knows where the damage is. He knows right the seed of it. And knows how to get there. He stopped and he looked up at this little man. He says, Zacchaeus, come down. Come down, Zacchaeus. You know why he wanted him to come down? Read on over there in the 10th verse. No, that's not it. Oh, yes, it's the 9th verse. And Jesus said to him, this day is salvation come to this house. You know what that must have made the man feel? A load began to come off his shoulders. Me? Can you change me? I sure hope you can. Folks, have you, sometimes in our human experience, in our walk through life, we come to places that I don't know how to get out of, and we need help. And when somebody comes greater than I am, that knows how to unwind the tangle that I'm in, I imagine Zacchaeus was overjoyed at that moment. Because it was more than these words. I think there was a divine work that he felt beginning already in his heart. You know what his response was? Oh, I'll make all I know how to make right. Thank you, Lord. I think the next time he saw some of those people that perhaps had teased him when he was young, maybe he felt like he'd gotten even, I think this time he saw him, he looked at the same man in the face, came up to him and said, Brother, I'm so sorry I did that to you. Can I pay you back? And that man may have said, you deserve all you got. Can I hug your neck? I don't know. I believe Zacchaeus did all he could to give back because it was in his heart to do it. But I know how the other person must have felt too when he came up and said, would you please take this?
Wouldn't you like to see that scene? I imagine two fellows just hugged each other's necks and wept. Isn't that a sweet scene? Did you know what the Lord was doing right there? He was healing brokenness. You know, these things can build up. That other man probably didn't know how to deal with the problem. He may have felt, Zacchaeus, he's always thieving. He's doing all he can. And he may have harbored a bit of bitterness in his heart too toward Zacchaeus. But imagine when they came together, there was a great melting. You know what it did for that other fellow too? It set him up. Zacchaeus, what happened to you? I met Jesus. Would you go with me? I know him. Can I take you to him? The other man, Zacchaeus, whatever you got, I need to. You see how this thing works? See how it works? A work begins. It begins right there. And that's not where it stops. He continues working in our lives. Zacchaeus, we had a song that I learned when I was young. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Wee little man was he. But I want to tell you, this day he was standing tall because he had given himself to the Lord. Now I want to ask you this morning, have you examined in your heart, and I know from my own personal experience, that generally when I feel hurt or I feel something ill towards someone else, generally I feel a lot of, I feel justified in having that. Most of the time it's like that. The devil designs it that way because he knows if he can keep that within us, it'll stay around long enough to do damage. Leave behind lasting damage. There's all kinds of reasons, folks. There's all kinds of reasons. The devil's looking for any opportunity he can to cause us to feel either anger or bitterness or some sort of something that will cause leave behind damage in our soul. Now, we can be like Zacchaeus and we can go down a road that a campaign of search and destroy, slander, or try to get even. We can go down that road and we may be successful, quote, successful getting there. Zacchaeus had amassed quite a bit of wealth. He was a rich man. Profit does not consist of the amount of goods that we have piled around our feet. Profit consists of what's left over after the bills are paid. Now let's take that over on the spiritual level. All of us are in debt. I don't care how much that we feel like that I have been successful in my personal gain. Zacchaeus had thought for a while, I'm pretty sure he thought that what he was doing was getting, he felt a certain amount of gratification in the road that he had taken for a while. But then it came time to pay the debt and he had nothing to pay with. I want to tell you today we can take down a road of carnality and for a while it can be masked in such a way that I feel like it's really not carnality, it's just justice. I feel like I have a right to do this. Be careful. Don't allow the devil to leave behind in your heart and in your life scars that's almost impossible to get over. You need the Lord. We need the Lord to guide us around these pitfalls of life. I want to encourage you today. If we find today that we've been building something in our life that the devil has plans of using to destroy us later on? Will we bring it? Can we bring that to the Lord today and allow Him? We may see no way of getting the real answer, how to get around it, but bring it to the Lord and begin to let Him take apart the broken pieces. Oh, it reminds me of a song. Pick up the broken pieces and bring them to the Lord. Pick up the broken pieces. Trust in His holy word. He will put them back together. How does that song go? Does anybody else know? I don't. May not be quoting it right. And make your life complete. Pieces. At Jesus' feet. I want to encourage us today. And perhaps, you know, I would like to think that nobody in this congregation has any of these problems. The likelihood is great that some of us, not just probably one of us, but some of us, it's a devil's business to try to implant that in our heart. It's God's desire to get it rooted out. And the reason why He wants to root it out so badly is because it cripples. Because when healing comes, and you see that blending and molding and humbling, oh, what a wonderful thing to see. What was it talked about? Was it unity? It was like the ointment that ran down Aaron's beard. It's precious, isn't it, when you see that? At working in God's people. We have a debt. I want to tell you about somebody who had every right to feel hurt from a human perspective. Had every right to turn his back and say, I'm through. Did you know Moses was rejected? Moses was talked bad about. There was times that they went terribly against Moses. And you remember the Lord said, Moses, if you'll step aside, remember that? If you just step back, I'll get rid of these folks and I'll raise up your family. Isn't that what the Lord said? What was Moses' response? He said, no, Lord, no. No, Lord. You know what Moses was? He was a type of Christ. And Christ does it over and over and over and over again. If you look at the debt you have to pay, and you, God help us to understand this today. Folks, there's none of us have the wherewithal. I don't care how much you amass, how much of the goods of this world you amass around your feet, how much everybody else may call you rich, but it's not rich enough to pay the debt that you can't get free. Zacchaeus couldn't get free. All his money couldn't get him free. Had a debt he couldn't pay. But there was one that took all of our abuse and all of our rejection. There was one that could have taken damage, could have said, they've hurt me and I'm not going to allow, I turn my back on him, but he didn't do that. Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising his shame. And he did that for you and I. At this juncture, I would like to look over in the 2 Corinthians, I believe it's the 7th. Yes, the 7th chapter of 2 Corinthians. We have here an account of Brother Paul. He had written a letter. Evidently in the letter there were some things he said that could have been hurtful.
You know, in our human interaction, sometimes I've seen ministers and seen pastors and I've seen others, spiritual people who love one another, that want to try to help and encourage each other. I've seen us sometimes really struggle when we see somebody else who maybe has begun to drift and maybe they have some spiritual problems, and to know how to reach out to help them, it's hard to know what to do. You don't want to feel like that. You don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. We don't want to. We love them. We want to reclaim them if we can at all. You want to try to help. But what do you do? How do you reach out? How? And Brother Paul found himself, there were some things that needed to be addressed. He risked them thinking that he was judgmental. He risked them thinking that he was man rule. I'm putting this in today's terms. He wrote him a letter. And he addressed some things. And then here it comes down to the seventh chapter in the ninth verse. He said, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry. Now, he realized that the letter that he wrote, it affected them. "I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner." There was a good response here, wasn't there? Now, folks, there is a way in the scripture, it talks about a process where we to deal with one another. Sometimes we're instructed to go to them in person. What he's teaching in that instruction is that we treat our fellow man with the utmost respect in the manner in which we can preserve them the best we know how. Help them, to encourage them. We don't go there in carnality to try to publicly shame them. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to try to help and reclaim. That's what he's teaching. In this account, I don't know, but it appears that Brother Paul wrote a letter, and that an open letter, and risked it. I don't know, but this is what he did here. And I imagine when he sent that letter, he probably spent many an hour on his knees saying, "Lord, help that. Please, Lord. Oh, Lord, I love these folks. I help them, Lord. That letter, I know that letter has potential of..." There were times he probably, what news am I going to hear back? What's going to happen? Because those same people that were made sorrow after a godly sort, they could have been angry and turned around and went the other way. It would have been a bad thing. Now, here's a part of this verse I want us to get. "You're made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing." Notice this, received damage. Did you know a whole lot has to do with how I am willing to approach this thing? Whole lot does. Now, I can't really control what somebody else says about me, but I have a lot to do with how I receive that. A lot of that's my responsibility. Sometimes we can say things and we don't mean to say it like we did, or maybe it's taken completely out of all kinds of things can happen, folks. But I have a lot of responsibility, and how, when I hear what maybe you said about Brother Ivan, I can just leave that in the hands of the Lord and say, "Lord, help me." Did you know David one time was fleeing for his life? And there was a man that went over there walking along, cursing him as he went. David was king. He was fleeing because they were chasing him, but he was king. And a man was over there cursing him. And one of David's men said, If you'll just give me the word, I'll go over there and I'll come back with his head. David said no. He said maybe the Lord told him to say that. Perhaps that's the Lord saying that to me. He said, my job is to humble down and hang my head and say, Lord, I need you. Isn't that a good way to handle it? What hurts could knock you completely off your feet. You know what the best thing to do? I don't know what's all going on over there, but I know what I got to do. Got to hang my head and say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I want to keep my soul today. Lord, I don't want damage. I don't want to receive damage. You see? We don't have to receive it. Lord, help us to learn this. We'll save ourselves a lot in life if I can learn to put this into practice. Don't need to receive damage. Oh, we can. We can bow our neck. We can be hard-hearted. We can be stiff-necked. And I can say, Moses, you shouldn't say that to me. Moses, I'm telling you, I'm just as equal as you. Be careful. Maybe the Lord told him to say that. My part is to say, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. I want to tell you what. The Lord knows how to work with that real well. Anytime we put ourselves into the hands of God, there's a blessing to it. Paul said, now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance, for you were made sorry after a godly manner. And you received damage by us in nothing. Is that possible? By the grace of God it is, folks. We don't have to receive that damage. I want to encourage us this morning. Over in 2 Corinthians, while we're here, let's go to the fifth chapter. Suppose we have received damage. Some damage everybody can look on and see. Some damage, sometimes we can look on people and we can recognize. We can see it out there in the open. Some people are real good at hiding the damage. But everything is naked and open to the Lord. He knows right where the problem is this morning. I want to tell you, one of the things that I believe Brother Marty mentioned it last night in his message, or somewhere recently, I think it was Brother Marty last night in his message, what he said to Nicodemus. Do you remember what the Lord said to Nicodemus? It's one of the most quoted Bible verses that we have. For God so loved. Just starts out like, Jesus said that. Jesus told Nicodemus, for God so loved. You know why he said that? He wanted him to know and everybody else to know that I care about you broken people. That's right. I care about you. The very reason why he came. He got up when he began his ministry and he opened up the book of Isaiah. And he started talking about people who were in prison, people who were blind, people who were broken, people who were in trouble. He said, I came to open up that prison house. I came, those eyes that are not seeing correctly and everything is wrong in their vision. I came to straighten that out. Those people who feel like that they're crippled and they can't flee. I came to make those crippled feet like hinds feet. He lived for the day to see that crippled person leaping on the heights of Zion. Oh folks, I believe he takes great pleasure in going by and seeing a wrecked life. How much for it? How much? He's mine. How much? It cost you everything you got. I'll pay it. For that wreck? Oh, he's twisted. There's nothing left. Jesus is bidding high. For God so loved.
I hope that sinks in. Did you know he loves you? Put your name there. He said the world, that it includes everybody, but I'd like to bring it a little bit closer. God so loved Ivan. Yes, he did. But I gave him no reason to do it. In fact, I gave him every reason not to. But he still hunted me down and found me where I was. For God so loved the world. Would you put your name there right now? For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave heaven's best. He gave it all. That he could take people with hurts, with damage, with brokenness, and change them. And make them new. And start a process. Start a process of a new life. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 17th verse says this: therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. How's that feel? I can tell you this much: a creature that I brought to Jesus, I was sick of. He was a twisted, broken creature. Something I didn't like. To somebody, I'm sorry. But I can tell you what happened. Before that night was out, I knew I was a new creature. Things had changed. Amen. And I also share with you, that wasn't when he quit. He didn't quit changing that night. He still continued. I want you to know this. Think about this. Now, we live in a time that most of us, and I think it's a fault. It's something that would be better if we looked at it differently. We are so anxious for things to be done at the snap of a finger. I suppose it's human nature to be that. But I want to encourage you, I want to tell you that when you start down, you give your life to the Lord, you'll notice a change right away. But he's not through changing. Not through when he begins. He sculpts lives. He takes and he hunts out the deep places. And sometimes at the beginning, right at the surface, we don't see what's down deep inside. We don't see where the damage, where it really came from. And that's where God aims. He's aiming for that place down deep inside every one of us. And when you give your heart to the Lord, you give him your all. You come and you lay your all on the altar. You give him when he saves you. But then when you give yourself to him totally in sanctification, and you give him free ride in your life, I want to tell you what he's doing. He's taking you to a land that flows with milk and honey. Sweetness, you see. The bitterness, the places that's been damaged before, he begins to straighten. Let me put it in carpenter's terms for a little bit. You ever heard of termites? You see them very often. Have you ever went to try to do some remodeling before on older houses? Pretty common. You have might have in your mind that I'm going to tear this out and I'll just be putting this stuff right back on. But you begin to tear off stuff and sheetrock, and pretty soon you start finding, whoa, what's this? Sometimes a little water came in the corner of a window and ran down there and rotted some stuff out. So other places you see where termites had just filled a board. Is just you could I've grabbed for a board and just felt it crumble in my hands. Termites. I didn't see it. You know what I had to do? I had to tear all that out. And went back in with new. And if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature.
The damage is taken away. God goes on a hunt for the damage. And He finds it. He's real good at finding it. And then He takes that away. And He makes it better than what it was to begin with. I want to encourage you today. I want to tell you, first and foremost, that God loves. For God so loved. And He wants to create new. And He wants to create you new. I want us all to understand there's a reason why Jesus came to try to find hurt and crippled people, because He, for the joy that was set before Him, I think He looked at these people and He thought, oh, He gets great satisfaction out of creating new. Put all these parts back together. I was putting in a kitchen one time and what was there before, it was terrible what was there. It was an old house and the walls were filled full of sawdust for insulation. And I looked at this thing and oh my, it was a mess. I'm going to tell you what, when I got through, stood back and looked. You know what? I know the customer is happy, but I was happy. Thank you. That was good. I liked what happened. It just changed. Now, that's just a small level as humans can understand. But I believe God takes pleasure. Who, for the joy that was set before Him, He saw people that were broken, that had no way of paying, no way of getting out. And He said, I'll pay it. I'll pay it. Zacchaeus had no way to pay his debt. All the wealth he had amassed around his feet couldn't pay his debt. He was still in debt. Profit is only what's left over. He had nothing left over. He was in debt. And then there was one that came up and said, what about me? And he doesn't loan. You know, there's a difference between loaning money and granting. A grant is when somebody just gives. A loan is when somebody, that's kind of like how the devil does. He said, you can have pleasure now. Yeah, I'll make you feel good now for a little bit, but then there comes a day that payment is due. The loan's up, and you feel miserable. I'll tell you, you do. But then there was one who came along and said, I'll pay the debt. Put that on my account. For God so loved, folks. He said, put that on my account. And He takes us home. And He begins to change and mold and shape. And makes us tender-hearted. Makes us to dwell together in heavenly places. I want to encourage us today to let the Lord do that for all of us. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know. Perhaps there are people here that maybe the damage is so twisted in your mind you don't know what to do. I can't tell you everything to do, but I can tell you a good starting point. Come and bring it to the Lord. And step by step, He'll lead you out of it. Please do that. May the Lord help us. I want to encourage us all this morning. There is a God who loves. And if any man, that includes me, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. All things have become new. Doesn't that give us hope today? A new life. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home. Maybe we can stand as have a song. You here this morning? I want to encourage you. You got something you need to bring to the Lord? There's no shame in bringing it to the Lord. That's a good place to come. Won't you come this morning?